take your Bibles, go to John chapter 18. I had some notes with this, but I just set them aside. I don't really want to preach from the notes this morning. I'll be honest with you, about Wednesday or Thursday of this week, I had a preacher friend stop by, as your son. He just stopped by here, and he just wanted to tell me what kind of job I was doing. Not really. No, we had a good conversation. We're going back and forth, and he said something. And as soon as he said it, God dropped down in my mind and started the gears rolling. And I didn't hear what he said for like 20 minutes. We're talking back and forth, and I said, "What do you think about this? And what do you think about this?" Next thing you know, me and him both were just down there weeping, having a good time in the Lord. So God said, preach that this morning. So John chapter 18 is where we're going to be. Y'all ready to have a good time in the Lord? Y'all ready to hear a word? Because coming to church is good. But that's one step in it. That's a step in the process. Coming to church, God likes it when you come to church, but God loves it when you become the church. Amen? Coming to church, that's part of it. Being the church is all of it. Amen? I want to give you this. I'm going to read something out of Romans chapter 10, if you would. Listen to this part. And what joy sung, it'll go along with this very, very clearly. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I'm just going to read some here to give you a little context of going back to John chapter 18, is where we're going to be in the major part of the message. That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I hate to tell you, but it's that simple. It's that simple. It's not complicated. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He was raised from the dead, guess what? Saved. Saved. Saved to the uttermost. From the guttermost. That's me. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe it in your heart first, and then you can't help it from getting out. Just like when you were lost, you couldn't help the thing that was in here from getting out. Remember? When you did certain things. Now, oh, golly, I could preach there for a minute. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of Jesus, are you? When you truly get saved, you'll share Him, talk about Him. You'll lift Him up. You'll glorify Him wherever you're at, no matter what. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, thank God. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon His name. Praise God, to call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no big or little people in Christ's eyes. Golly, bum, man. This is not where I want to preach from, but I want to preach from. Amen? God don't ever look at people and go, that's an important person, that's a not important person. God says, I want them all to call upon me. But I want you to hear this next part. How then shall they call on Him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe on Him whom they've not heard? Underline that heard part for this message. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? That is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings and good things. Now turn over. I want y'all to hear that. How will they hear? How will they hear? Amen? The title of this message this morning is, Do You Have Your Ears On? Amen? Do you have your ears on? That's important. When Jesus, are y'all with me? John 18:1. When Jesus, are y'all seeing it kind of like that? When Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden in which He entered, and His disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with His disciples. I love this. I can't help but preach here some. The devil knows where you pray. The devil knows where you get a hold of God at. And ain't that a cool thing? I wish my worst enemy would know tomorrow he's getting up and this is where he'll be serving God. I hope the devil knows this is where she gets up and this is where she'll be tomorrow. Whether she's happy or whether she's sad, whether she's mad, whether she's depressed, whether she's sick, whether she's well, guess what? You'll find them where they serve God at. Golly, Bumma, don't you want that said about you? Wouldn't it be so cool that your enemy could almost tell you, I know where they're going to be. Judah said, hey, I know where we can get him. There's one place where nobody will be around. He goes there and he resorts with God. He prays to God. He seeks God. Who does? Who? Jesus. Some of y'all wondered if you should pray. Jesus did. So we should. Should we get away from people every once in a while and just talk to God instead of hearing everybody else's opinion? Golly, bum, I wish somebody of you would. I wish I would. Sometimes I get what everybody else thinks instead of going to God, because a lot of times God will tell you opposite of what you're thinking. God, this is what I'm thinking about doing because it makes sense. Good, don't do that because that's not what's going to make sense to me. Whew, now, Judas, listen to this. Judas, then having received a band of men, that's 100, okay? I want y'all to write that down, 100 men. And officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. These are not Roman soldiers. This is 100 men of the temple guard. Okay, y'all get that? Because we murder that in plays a lot. This is the temple guard. These are Jewish men who serve in the temple as the guard. They dispatch 100. That's 8.333333333 per person that's in the garden. 8.3 to every man that is in the garden praying. Jesus and his 11 disciples are all praying, and guess what? They brought 8.3 people per person. I don't know what the .3 means, but I'm just saying. They planned on overwhelming them, shock and awe. They came down there with torches and weapons, and they come to take Jesus in. And you got to see this, man. They're out in the woods, and they're praying, and here comes 100 men down the trail. 100. Armed. And the only person that has a weapon with Jesus is Peter, who just got him a sword. God, I wish I could. I got a vivid mind. I at first he was going to take two. Right? You know how we are, men. But he ended up taking one. And you know, somewhere during the night, he did this. Right? If you don't know what that was, you weren't a man. You're a lady, or you're not a man. You've never been a boy. If somebody gives you a knife, you being a male, you're going to play with the knife. And you're probably going to cut yourself. Golly, bum. I'm serious. And all during the night, I'd get, hey, let's pray. Okay. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. But I got this sword. I got this sword, this shiny new sword that I can wield around, and if anybody gives us any trouble. Have you ever thought that you're tougher than you are? And you're really tough when you got Jesus with you? But you didn't know the devil was going to dispatch 100 people that night? I can't wait till they show up. Just give me one guy, Lord. Give me one devil. Oh, I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you 100. I'm going to give you 8.3. Amen. He's out there, and these guys are coming through the woods, and Jesus is praying, and he's telling guys, listen, y'all need to pray. Y'all need to stay focused, because it's going to get bad here in a minute. It's going to get bad. And we're in the same way. We think something's going to happen way down the road, when a lot of times things are just about to happen. Amen. They're happening right now. They're happening in the next hour. And you know what? Some of y'all sitting in these pews, I wish y'all could be real honest. It's happening right now to you, and you know it, but you're pretending like everything's all right. Because you dressed up and came to church, and you came in here, and you thought, man, I'm just going to go in, and if I make it through, great. I wish we'd come in here. Man, I'm in a fight right now. I feel like I'm surrounded. I feel like I got 8.3 on me right now. I feel like I got 8.3 surrounding me, and I have a sword, but sometimes I don't really know how to use it. I just got it. Amen? I want y'all to see this. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things, that should come upon him went forth and said unto them, I love this. Jesus is cool. Everybody say, Jesus is cool. He's cool. Watch this. Whom seek ye? What? He walked right up to 100 of them. Let me do it in my version. Who are you looking for? Huh? God, that's Jesus, man. He wasn't afraid of not nary one of them, man. He walked right up to the whole 100 of them, and he says it. Who are you looking for? They were looking for him. Amen? Watch this. Y'all, I love this reason I've done it out of John, because I want y'all to see this. And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. Okay, let me, can I give y'all something pretty cool? That I am he, if you got it in the King James Version, do you know that the he is spelled, it's written a little bit different? Do y'all notice that? You know, it's just kind of like a little bit of a cursive bend to it. Do you know why? That's added. That's an accent. That doesn't belong there. That just puts it in as the reading. Oh, gosh, some of y'all going to get mad. I'm going to meet right out of church. It's italicized. You understand what that means? It's an italicized word. That means they put a word in there to make the reading go smoother. Amen? God, y'all, if y'all got that, y'all would have shouted right then. Because you know what he said? I am. Remember the last time he said that? He said it to Moses. Who do you want me to tell them that sent me? Tell them I am that I am sent you. My God, do y'all not feel? I feel the Holy. I'm serious. He said, he goes, who you looking for? We're looking for Jesus. I am. No, y'all don't even get it yet. Watch this. Watch. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. And as soon, verse 6, everybody look at it with me. And as soon then as he had said it, them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. You don't read that in every verse, do you? You don't look that in Luke and Matthew. Sometimes we forget it. They said, who are you looking for? And he said, I am. And guess what? When you really find Jesus, he'll knock you down. He was showing everybody with him, I really don't need you to protect me. You might want to make a note here. God don't need your protection. God didn't. You're not God's bodyguard. He can do that all by himself. He don't prop him up. The last guy tried to prop God up, he died instantly. They were carrying the ark the wrong way, and it got to wobbling, and the dude said, God, I wish y'all would help me preach. Oh, let me help you prop up, God. God said, get your hands off me. I don't need you to hold me up. Sometimes Christians, we act like we're holding God up. We act like we're the ones who are doing everything. All you have to say is he's Jesus, the only begotten of God, and let him work. Get your hands off of it. I got to defend God right here. God, listen, that person that's railing so hard on God and so mad at God, they're closer to getting saved than probably you are. I didn't mean to say it that way. It just came out. Listen to this. When they asked them, verse 7, then ask he them again. Wow, he's so cool. Whom seek you? Who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which was spake of them, which thou gavest me, I lost none. Jesus never loses any of his. Did y'all see that? Jesus, look, I started thinking about this morning. God started working. I've been thinking about this message nonstop for 4 days, just straight. When I wake up, when I walk, when I talk, it's just there. The devil never touched any of the apostles that night. They didn't crucify any of them. You know why? Because that's not in God's plan. Do you know why else? Because that's the future of the church. Who are you running with? Who are you walking with? Who are you training? Who are you showing? Who are you sharing with? Because guess what? Jesus knew, you're about to put me on a cross, and I'm about to cut these 11 loose on the world. At first, when you look at them, they look like a bunch of goofballs. Because that night, John ran out of his clothes. Peter, we're going to read about what he does. The rest of them scattered. It looked like at first, they looked like, man, you've been training these guys for 3 years, and you failed. No. I've trained them for 3 years, but they're just missing one more thing, and you're going to help me give it to them. See, they just need, I heard it, they just need an indwelling. They got all the training. They got all the capability. They're weak, but I'm going to make them strong. We're going to put something on the inside of them. And if you'll take me to the cross, I need somebody, my God. I need somebody to take me to the cross and open me up. Because when I get opened up, I'm going to pour out. When you think you've destroyed me, you're going to set in motion men and women who will turn the world upside down. When you think the world's destroying you and the enemy's destroying you, all they're doing is making the church grow. The church grows through persecution, not prosperity, ever. Listen to this. Verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it out and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant, his name was Malchus, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which thy father hath given me shall I not drink it. Y'all good? Here's the message. Y'all ready for the message? I had to put a lot of meat on that one because I only got good like 3 points. I want y'all to get this. Good, anointed people can hurt people. No matter how anointed you are, no matter how blessed you are, I don't care if you're a preacher, a deacon, a councilman, a teacher. I don't care if you've been a Christian for a long time. I don't care if you've got so much anointing it just runs off of you. Amen. I don't care if you've walked on water. Peter had. I don't care. I don't care if Jesus every once in a while leans over and asks you questions and you answer them correctly. Peter did. At one time he looked at Peter and he said, Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, well, some say that you're Elijah. And some say you're John the Baptist. And some say you're just a prophet. Well, that's good, Peter. And he says, I love this part because he says, now, Peter, tell me who I am then. And Peter says, upon observation, upon my time walking with you, I have come to the some understanding that you are the only begotten Son of God. And Jesus said, you got it right. Don't tell nobody. Not yet. Amen. That same Peter, that same guy, he's anointed and God loves him and God's using him in a mighty way, but he's got a brand new sword. He's got a brand new sword and he's wanting to use it and he's wanting to defend Jesus and he thinks that Jesus needs defending even though he's seen all 100 men fall backwards. And sometimes Christians will hurt people with our sword, defending Jesus, or defending some religious idea that we had, or defending something we think we're defending against. And we'll say something. I wish I could preach to y'all for real. We'll say stuff to people that we love and we want them to come to Christ, but we'll say stuff or do stuff that will cut their ear off. Amen? Listen, I want you to hear, when you cut somebody's ear off, you cut their ability to hear the Word of God. When the ear fell off, he could no longer hear Jesus. And what's happening in our communities is mean Christians, people who are mean and mean-spirited and do it for the wrong reasons, say stuff to people and do stuff to people, and I have been guilty of it, and we cut their ear off, and then they're wandering in the world going, I don't like Christian. They say it real loud because people who struggle with hearing loss are speaking loud. They hurt me. They hurt me. They said this. They spoke words that sounded like the Bible, but they hurt me instead of helping me. And it's very easy to do. Be careful how you wield your words. Be careful how you wield the sword that God's given you. Be careful that you don't cut somebody's ear off and they can't hear the word, because then you'll try to go back to them, and as soon as you go into the mode of Christianity, they will, I can't hear you because you hurt me, because they hurt me. Amen? And I want to warn you as a Christian, I'm capable of doing this. Can I? You might want to write this one down because I want you to remember it. Kevin Shelton, the pastor at Flat Top Church, probably will cut my ear off at some point while he's here. You better write it down because I'm going to remind you of it. I have the capability of hurting you. Not because I'm not anointed, not because I'm not trying to do the right thing. Maybe on a bad day or a bad time or a bad week. I know y'all don't have those. I might just say something and off goes your ear. And at first, I might not even notice it. Amen? But you sure did. You walked out of there going, my gosh, he cut my ear off. And you won't hear another message I preach. Amen? Because all you're going to do is look at me and go, man, that guy hurt me. He hurt me. And I don't want to hear him. Huh? Don't look at me that way. I'm talking about you too. More of your family members would be here today if you hadn't cut their ears off. Amen? We'd have more people in this community if you hadn't already cut their ears off. They're walking around and their ears are off because we, as Christians, have said stuff biblically true, but without any love or compassion, we just told them, you ain't got no excuse not to show up at the house of God. What's wrong with you? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with me. You're mean. I mean, why in the world would I want to go somewhere where you're at? Man, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. I want you to pray and say, God, let me be careful how I share the sword. Lord, will you help me that sometimes, God, I wish I'd help me. Would it be all right, Lord, if you would help me sometimes not even pull it out of the sheath? I know some of y'all are going to get mad at me because I say that, but God, would you help me? Would you help me hug them and love them and minister to them before I break out what they're doing wrong? Can I at least have some compassion? And can I wait until they ask me? Golly, I'll say that again. Can I wait until they ask me for a word? Because nobody likes to take medicine. Amen? They do if they're real sick and they know you got it. Ears laying there on the ground, and Peter cut it off. But wait a minute, is Peter a bad guy now? No, you know what? Peter preached the first message, 5,000 added to the church. Preached again, 3,000 added to the church. Then he was walking on the street, and the sun would come in his shadow, and people would be healed. Hey, he's still anointed. He's still a good godly man. He just made a mistake, and guess what? Somebody lost their ear. Can I preach to you that have been hurt? There's somebody sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. You got hurt in church. You've been hurt a lot in church, and you've been hurt by church folk. And guess what? You're bleeding all over people that didn't cut you and didn't hurt you. You're bleeding all over them, and you're doing the things you do because you can't hear the word of God. Can I tell you something? The person that cuts you didn't mean to. He didn't know, or she didn't know how much damage they were doing. But you know what Malchus, I want y'all to hear, can y'all hear this for me? I promise we're almost done. You know what Malchus did? Malchus forgot, and maybe you forgot too. You were on your way to crucify Jesus. Yeah, Malchus was one of the 100. You might have forgot where you was running. Amen? Because a lot of times, if you're not careful, if you're running from God, there's a lot of things that can hurt you. See, Malchus was running with the 100 that were about to go and put Christ on a cross. And a Christian hurt him. No doubt he's hurt. He's got a viable argument. His ear's laying on the ground. Amen? And maybe yours is too. Maybe you ain't got your ears on for Christ anymore because you got hurt. But you know what Jesus did? I think this is one of the coolest places in the Bible. In the Bible, when all this is taking place, they've come to arrest him. He's about to go to the cross. Jesus stops everything. One talks to Peter. Peter, put that away. That's not your job. That's mine. And you, you're going to need a new ear. He's looking right at Jesus, Malchus is, and he can't hear nothing. I guarantee he's screaming and his ears are ringing and he can't hear, but he's standing in front of the right person now. Not the person that hurt you. Not the people like the person that hurt you. If you got hurt in church, if you got hurt by people that were of God, let me tell you the secret. Get in front of Jesus and let him put your ear back on where you can hear his heart, where you can hear what he's saying to you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. I'm not trying to kill you. I'm trying to save you. I'm not here to destroy you. I'm here to rescue you. Even though you came to destroy me, I love you. If it could turn Malchus' new ear, because some of you, I hate to tell you this, you need a new ear. You've heard all the distorted stuff you've heard about God and all the distorted messages because you got hurt. When you get that new ear, he could have turned it and put it right up to his chest. Say, hear that? He would have probably heard what John, who wrote this book, would have said. Every time in the book, in the New Testament, when John wrote, you know how he referred to himself? Let's all stand. Scott, come get a song. You know how he referred to himself? In this book that you're looking at right now, in John 18, you know how he referred to himself? The one in whom Jesus loved. Do you know where you find John a lot of times? If they were all in one room, if all the apostles, all the disciples were in a room with Jesus, do you know where John the Revelator would be? Do you know where he would be? John would have, it doesn't look manly, it doesn't look cool, it don't even look fun to me. If you walked in the room, everybody would be sitting around the table, but John would have his ear laid up against the bosom of Christ. God, that looks weird to me. That looks weird to me. I don't know why he did it the first time. Maybe he had gotten a place in his life that he was hurting so bad, and God was so good that he said, but come on, help me. He said, hey, Jesus, I know this ain't really cool, but can I just lay my head on your chest? I know it ain't manly. See, John was the youngest of the disciples. God, maybe he still had a little bit of child in him. I wish we still did. My daddy, his name's Bone Urges. They call us boys the sons of thunder. Every once in a while when I was scared and I didn't know what I was doing, I'd lay my hand up on my daddy's chest and he would speak and, man, it would give me comfort. Jesus, I know you're not my daddy, but can I lay my ear on your chest just for a moment? Because you got me in some places, you got me scared. You got me worried because I'm not qualified to walk with you. I'm not good enough to walk with you. God, you're scaring me. Is there any way I could just put my head on your chest? Jesus, lay right there. What do you hear, son? What do you hear? I hear that you love me, that I'm forgiven. I hear that you've always loved me. You've always been after me. You've been seeking me my whole life. You want the best for me. I'm the one who's loved. I'll never say my name again without saying that I'm not loved. If you really find out who Jesus is, you're going to find out one thing. You've been loved your whole life. Some of you just been rejecting it your whole life. And some of you have been hurt, and you're honest. You've got a bona fide problem with the church. I'd ask you this morning if you just come to the altar and say, God, will you put my ear back on where I can hear your heart again? Because I need you. I've been drinking to cover you. I've been having relationships to cover you. I've been trying to cover you with financial stuff. I've been trying to cover you with pleasure. I've been trying to cover you with coming to church. God, I want you to restore me and make me whole. As he sings a song, come.